Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. His name is Dan Rubenstein. Don't forget, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts at iTunes.com/solidverbal. We are also on Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere where fine podcasts can be found. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Dan Rubenstein, the season is upon us.
I already feel like my head is underwater, and I know they've told me to breathe easy for a while, but you know this.
John
the
Legend.
Breathing
this is John
gets
Legend.
Harder.
This is John Legend.
It's not, and even I know that it's not John Legend, Ty. You made room for me, and I always appreciate that about you, but it's too soon to see. If I'm happy in your hands, Ty, I'm usually hard to hold on to.
Sarah Bareilles.
Ty, I'm not going to write you a podcast.
Sending me a love song here on the eve of Ohio State, Indiana tomorrow.
Yeah, this is true. I look at it more of 48 hours because I'm in New York ahead of Washington Rutgers,
New York's third
true team.
Well, we've got a fun show. It is, of course, our first preview show of the Young 2017 season. We're going to preview all the hot games from week one, talk about some other action as well. First and foremost, if you are listening out there, if you want to get in on the Pick'em Pool, you can. Pick'em Pool is still open. Mm-hmm. We've also got shirts, which are well on their way to being sent out, just waiting on some final confirmation.
And also, we will be doing a second run. We've heard from some people that they were too late, and we are going to be partnering with Cotton Bureau, so there will be a second run, maybe October, late September, something like that. And we are also going to do a run at a certain point during the season for, I don't know, either tank tops or women's tees of some kind. So you can keep your eyes peeled for that.
Also, don't forget, you still got time to go on out to solidverbal.com and sign up for our newsletter. Newsletter of Intent will be coming out on Friday. I am excited to get rolling with that. Send something out to whet your appetite before the games, before the majority of games get started on Saturday.
Yes.
And oh, by the way, as all that action is occurring, be it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, give us a call. The Reverb line now open officially for business, 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. You know the drill. When we record our next show on Sunday, we're going to put together a little rehashing of what transpired over the first weekend of college football, Dan.
I have excitement in my marrow, Ty. I'm ready.
Dan, Ty, help. I need Pixel.
Feels good.
Can we just grunt for a while? I feel good about that. Yeah.
How you feeling about this week one, Dan?
I feel pretty good. I'm super excited for the season to begin and review everything and new faces, new names, new coaches. I'm ready. I'm studied. I feel like you and I are just hitting our stride after this is our 10th season.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with us before this very show or this summer, there's a history show that you can listen to figure out how we ended up in this weird place. But Ty, I am quite excited. There's a good slate. I don't know if it's best. I don't know if it's like opening weekend apocalypse.
I'm liking the cut of your jib here. You're going to a place where I was going to take this anyway.
Measured, Ty.
Here is the great secret of week one, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
The great secret of week one is that it's not the week one we've seen in either of the last 2 years where it's just monster megaplex of football games. There are good games, no doubt about that.
No doubt about it.
That's right. Thank you, SiriusXM. You need to make sure you make the proper arrangements, obviously, to see your team play. That goes without saying. But if you are in a pinch, if your wife, if your husband, your pet, your significant other, whoever, if somebody else has plans this weekend,
mm-hmm.
I think you got to bite the bullet. I think you give away week one, get in front of a TV. Hear me out. Get in front of a TV for Florida State, Alabama on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about anything else. If you do it, make sure you play it up. Collect as many chips as you can. and then cash them all in next weekend because next Saturday is the monster.
It's all about negotiating time.
Next Saturday is really the monster. What I think I'm saying here, Dan, your window of opportunity. Your window of opportunity is pretty much all day on Saturday. Go out, enjoy Labor Day weekend, be in front of the TV for the late game between Florida State and Alabama, and maybe to watch your own team play, but otherwise, go on out earlier in the day.
Do you have a window this Saturday where you have obligations?
I don't have obligations on week one. Okay. I don't have obligations on week
one. There's a Sunday game. There's a Monday game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have obligations this weekend. The Solid Wife has been kind enough to give me this weekend. She knows that you and I tend to get a little busy this time of year.
Yeah.
At least for week one, I will have carte blanche to watch as much college football as I'd like.
Is the menu set?
Haven't set the menu yet. Might throw something in the crock pot, Dan.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not talking Florida State.
Is it going to be Florida State? I was going to say.
Not talking Florida State. Might throw something in the crock pot.
Okay.
We could talk about that a little later.
I respect that. Yeah. I would still say it's a very good time
to
be a college football fan this weekend. Just because even, like, okay, so Florida State, Alabama is later in the evening. And then you have Florida, Michigan, which I think is 3:30 Eastern. There's a solid evening window of quality football. Group of five type games, Troy, Boise State, you have Texas Tech, Eastern Washington. I feel like there is entertainment to be had, not necessarily meaningful high level, but entertaining matchups. Georgia, App State. There's no real window of downtime if you are going to be in front of
the TV. Well, it's been a long, cold off season, Dan. Any port in a storm. So if you see some football on TV, I think by default it will be entertaining. But there are some entertaining games. You brought up Michigan and Florida. Let's talk about that game. You are correct, sir. 3:30 on ABC, coming to you live in living color from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Shout out to all our Verballers down in Texas. Hopefully everyone is safe. Hopefully everyone is sound. It's very disheartening to see what's transpired down there in the great state of Texas. We have a lot of Verballers who listen from down there, and we just hope everyone is safe. And if only for this brief window of time, perhaps we can provide some entertainment in the form of college football humor.
Yes, absolutely. We hope we can be a distraction. But also, if you are down there and you have the means and you have any sort of time, helping out is consider it. It's so good. I've donated some money to a couple causes. It's really cool to see how people have sort of banded together. And, you know, obviously it's affected things in college football, the clear least important part of this all.
Sure.
But hope everybody down there, I know a lot of people are listening, have everything together, and everybody is all right. That's the hope.
Absolutely. On to the game. We've got Michigan, a 3.5-point favorite over the Florida Gators, Dan.
Yes.
Did you hear that Jim Harbaugh is getting his own podcast?
I did see that. Is he going solo? Does he have a co-host?
I read the article, I'd say, about 17 times to try and get a good sense for what's going on here. The title is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. He plans to incorporate some of his family members.
It's got to be a Chris Hardwick thing, right?
I don't
know. He hosts everything.
I would really like to know if he is the main host.
Right.
That would be a killer podcast right there. There are going to be celebrities, some weird segments. I'm going to be writing about this entire article that I found on Sports Illustrated as part of our newsletter entry on Friday. So if you'd like to subscribe, again, a subtle plug to do so. But Jim Harbaugh, starting on September 5th, will be entering the podcast arena.
MeUndies, Modell. I can't wait for that read.
So Michigan is reportedly going with all maize uniforms for this.
Yeah.
You remember the Canary disaster of 1928, right?
How could I forget, Ty?
Florida in this game will be without Antonio Callaway, their wide receiver, Jordan Scarlett, their top running back, and a host of other guys. Oh, and we just found out a few minutes ago that Felipe Franks is going to be your starting quarterback, not Malik Zaire.
I've been pretty straightforward with how I felt about this game. Yeah, the suspended receivers, James Robinson, the freshman, is also suspended recently. Michigan, you know, replacing a lot of players on both sides of the ball. Wilton Spade is back. They have a new offensive coordinator, at least a passing game coordinator, and Pep Hamilton, which should make things interesting in the long term for the Wolverines. And of course, Florida has a new defensive coordinator, Randy Shannon. So there's some unknowns in the matchup. I think I'm going to go with Michigan here. And the quarterback, at least comfort for me for Michigan, is meaningful. And Florida's redone their whole defense as well. So I just think that there are more question marks with Florida. Michigan, not that the 2016 Citrus Bowl means all that much at this point, but I'm more confident in the continuity of Michigan than I am for Florida. So I think Michigan wins this game by a touchdown. We're going to call it 27-20 Michigan. So I'm going to give those points, Ty.
27.
Give me those points!
27-20.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more I look at it, the more I think I'm leaning Michigan. Initially, I was thinking Florida because, again, of the turnover. But what's it tell you if Michigan's replacing its leading rusher, four of its top five wide receivers, three all-conference linemen, and basically their entire defense, and yet they're still favored by 3.5 points?
It tells me they've recruited well, and the running back issue isn't a big one for me because they've got at least three or four guys who got a ton of experience last year. The pass catchers, yes, that's a big deal to me. The offensive line is a big deal. Defense, not as much of a big deal because I do trust Don Brown and the rebuilt front seven with a ton of experience. They were blowing teams out, so these guys got in the rotation. Secondary is a little worrisome, but again, they played. I'm not terribly concerned. So I'm still going Michigan.
Yeah, and let's be honest. The question with Florida has been offense over the last couple of years. Now you're without a wide receiver, a running back. The quarterback announcement, though official, is far from settled. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take the points. I'm not confident that Michigan
take
will
those
win.
Points, Ty.
I'm even less confident that they'll cover. But I think Harbaugh is the better coach. I'm going to say Michigan 20-17. I'm going to say under the 45 total, whatever it is, the last time I checked.
Yeah.
Michigan starts the season 1-0.
Yeah, the big matchup I would say that Florida has the advantage on is their defensive line, C.C. Jefferson, and the other Gators going against a rebuilt Michigan offensive line. I think that's where there could be havoc created for Michigan.
Moving on, this is kind of the big tamale here.
It is. Good use of tamale.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, even though it's not in Texas, the previous game was.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Is that the new one?
This will be the first regular season football game played in the stadium. I think there's a soccer game and a preseason NFL game. But yes, this is some. Is this the Chick-fil-A whatever game?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Why did they build a new stadium?
That I don't know. Because they could.
Because I know they just built a new Braves stadium in Cobb County, and people are all up in arms about that. Now they're building a new dome.
Yeah, from the top, it sort of looks like a robot's beehole.
Great.
It's not great. Yeah.
Well, this is your week one championship game, 8 p.m. ABC. Again, the big tamale. Alabama, a 7-point favorite over the Florida State Gators. Dan, I read something this week.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I should be talking about this publicly. I read an ESPN article that pretty much laid out Florida State's secret weapon is Derwin James in this game.
Oh, yeah?
Who is Derwin? Does he play quarterback? I've never heard of Derwin James.
he probably would be able to in a pinch.
Not so much a secret. I think Alabama knows about him. I think every college football fan at this point, at least if you listen to this show, you know we've got a bit of an infatuation with him. I am torn. Because I told some fellas at the live show that I like Florida State here.
Not unlike Natalie Imbruglia, Ty Hildenbrandt is torn.
And then I said on the SEC preview show that I was wavering a bit. You know, I think I still like Florida State, but not as much as I did with a few drinks in me.
Okay.
I'm seeing an absolute war in the trenches here.
Okay. Plant your flag, Ty.
I'm seeing a war in the trenches, Dan. What do you think?
Okay, so I think if you've read Bill Connolly's piece this week, it made a lot of sense that it's going to come down to quarterback play. And that's sort of more difficult to decipher. Jalen Hurts was very good, but he threw a lot behind the line of scrimmage and loses a couple of big weapons. DeAndre Francois, even though he stood in and took a lot of hits and was sort of admirable in that way, still, I think perhaps his value a little bit overinflated, especially now with the brand new receiving core for Florida State going against a very good Alabama secondary, albeit rebuilt front for the Tide. Even with Florida State's crazy experience on defense, you mentioned Derwin James, but it's up and down the defense in terms of a combination of experience and talent. You look at a lot of what these guys did last year on defense and what Charles Kelly did, they really got better near the end of the season, but against quality dual threat quarterbacks, of which they faced five, Ty, they gave up 34, 35, 37, 34, and 63 points.
Huh. Okay.
So that's Deshaun.
Would not be good.
Also, the roster of dual threat quarterbacks that they played last year was unimpeachably great. So it's Lamar Jackson, it's Quentin Flowers, it's Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson. Like, it's up and down really, really good. So a lot of teams would struggle. A lot of defenses would struggle. But that's a lot. That's a lot. Alabama has a new offensive coordinator. They're still going to be able to run a lot, even if Jalen Hurts struggles throwing into the teeth of this Florida State defense. Florida State was pretty good against the run, but I'm going right now with Nick Saban and a ton of time, and I did like how Jimbo Fisher coached against Ole Miss last year, and coming back in the second half, I'm going Alabama minus anything, and I think they win this game 28-20. So they barely cover, but they cover.
20. Yeah. The question that kept coming up in my mind is how many games could Alabama win this year if they lined up and handed the ball off every play?
Mm-hmm.
If they just telegraphed it and told everyone, we're a running team. 10 games? 9 games?
How many could they win?
How many would they win if they...
With a creative running game?
Refused to throw the football.
With a creative running game, so maybe throwing some option stuff in there. Yeah, they could win 9 games. 10 games? Sure.
I look at their stable of running backs. That covers for a lot of sins for sure. I am a little concerned about turnover on defense for Alabama because it's a lot even for them. And I don't think that Jimbo Fisher is going to be overmatched in the coaching department the way a lot of coaches would be against Nick Saban because he's a good coach. He knows what he's doing out there. However, the teams that beat Alabama generally run more of a spread offense.
Yeah, throw the ball downfield effectively.
Right. Bama tends to do really, really well against teams like Florida State that do more of a multiple pro style, whatever you want to call it, system. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the Noles win here. I do think they can keep it close. I will take Florida State with the points. I'm going to say Bama wins a close one, 24-20.
We disagree for the first time this season.
Moving on to Sunday, Dan.
Already?
Sunday fun day, yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
Let's talk about the Fox game. This is UCLA at home in the Rose Bowl. They are a 3.5-point favorite over Texas A&M. A couple little fun factoids for all y'all. Texas A&M 7-1 straight up over the last 8 years in their opening game. Meanwhile, UCLA is 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 games against SEC opponents, Dan. I would also contend that those stats mean virtually nothing here.
Why?
I like UCLA more.
Okay, that's fine.
Simply put, I like UCLA a lot more. I think this is a really good matchup. And when we did our previews, we hinted at this a little bit. But Josh Rosen against A&M's secondary is interesting. Travion Williams and Christian Kirk against what I think is a young UCLA defense, that's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to know a lot after week one what kind of quantities we have with both UCLA and A&M. Is that fair?
Yes and no, just because there's going to be so much new on both sides of the ball for UCLA and there's so much youth that what they, and actually both of these teams, what they look like in week one is going to be pretty different just because Josh Rosen's health should be fine, but what is their offense going to look like with Jed Fish? I don't think it's going to be an absolute in week one, Texas A&M breaking in a new starting quarterback. So these are two teams that I think at least one of them will look a lot better come October 15th. than they will early on in the season, just because of what they went through last year. But I do agree with you that it's an intriguing matchup, and that Josh Rosen versus the secondary, particularly some really talented Texas A&M safeties, will be enormous for this matchup. What Texas A&M is able to do against UCLA's defense feels like a mismatch in favor of UCLA, because I still love the talent that UCLA has on defense, even with the loss of a couple of huge names along the defensive line. And when UCLA has the ball, it's about improvement on the ground. They've got some talent at running back, but my God, were they god-awful last year. Here's the great news, though, for the Bruins. A&M, against the run last year, tackling the open field against most of the teams they played, if not all, was bad. It was really, really bad. The good news is there's a ton of talent up the middle of the field. So if they're able to collapse the offensive line, a relatively new offensive line for UCLA, even though I do like UCLA center a lot, Scott Quisenberry, they're in a good position to sort of wreak havoc if they are able to keep the energy level up. So I think this is going to be a really good game. Ultimately, I think the home team with the better quarterback and the better defense is the play here. So I'm going to go UCLA 34-28. I think they cover and win outright.
Yeah, I don't forget to mention the Tom Scrap Bradley defense, Dan.
Tom Scrap Bradley.
So I'm going to trust in Josh Rosen. I think they win, let's say, 31-24, a win and a cover.
Yeah, I don't think this has shootout potential, but there will be points.
Let's go to another Sunday affair on ABC. We've got Virginia Tech, 4.5 points, the favorite against West Virginia. This one being played in Landover, Maryland at FedEx Field. I've been hearing it from West Virginia fans, Dan.
Yeah.
Because I was not kind to the Mountaineers in my preview. I think I said 5-7.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it hurts me to do that because many of our most devoted listeners are, in fact, West Virginia brethren, fans. Mountaineers at heart.
Brethren of somebody from outside Philadelphia. And
that's right.
Southern California. Yeah.
That's right. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. So I took a hard look at this game. I took a look at Justin Crawford. I love Justin Crawford.
Was on the first season of Last Chance U. He was an opponent, but he was there.
I took a good hard look at myself in the mirror. And I think I've fully committed myself now to Virginia Tech in this game.
So you have not reversed course at all?
No, I'm still out.
Okay, why is that? Because I was just, if you had any deep thoughts as you were looking at the man in the mirror, I just wanted to give you the platform. Talk about West Virginia, talk about Ty, whatever you wanted.
Well, all right. Will Greer, you know Will Greer. Billy Greer, excuse me.
Bill Greer?
No, Billy Greer. He had a good run at Florida,
yeah,
but it was only a few games. And can he find the same magic now that he's transferred over? Maybe, but maybe not this soon. Seems like a fair assessment. He could get there by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling it quite yet. My only hesitation here, and the reason that I'm not 100%, is I'm not sure how Virginia Tech's offense is going to look.
Right.
Because we know even less about their quarterback situation. I do have confidence in their defense, though. I do. I think Virginia Tech wins 31-28, but West Virginia covers. I think this is actually a really good football game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... I went back and forth in this game a bunch just because I think I trust Virginia Tech's defense more than I do anything else in this game. But at the same time, I'm very reticent of Josh Jackson just playing in FedEx Field against a West Virginia team that is remade on defense, but still pretty tricky and came on pretty strong last year, especially against the pass. Bill Greer, whatever we're going to go with, I like the experience. I'm not crazy. When you go back and watch his Florida tape a little bit, a lot of it were it was short stuff in that big Ole Miss game that ultimately he wasn't throwing down the field a ton, but he has the weaponry on offense, even with a couple of key losses. I think I'm still going to ride, even against your protests. I ride with the Mountaineers.
Wow.
That's what, pew, 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 pew. I'm going with West Virginia. I think they're able to win outright. I'm a little bit concerned about Virginia Tech starting the season with a lot of big pieces. Isaiah Ford was so huge for them on offense. I think I'm going to go West Virginia with the speed. I just trust a little bit more.
Where did this Gruyere thing come from?
I don't know.
You're trying to make it two syllables when it's not. That's what you're trying to do.
Well, First of all, Gruyere, underrated cheese, Ty.
Agreed.
Can we please agree on that?
We can and agree on just, that, yeah.
There's something funny about calling a West Virginia quarterback Billy or Bill Gruyere. I don't know. We'll see. I'll settle on something. I'm not admitting defeat.
French influence there or something.
Absolutely. It's the Lafayette blood, Ty.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm going West Virginia here. I'm enthusiastic about disagreeing once again.
Monday Night Lights.
All of my picks are going to be wrong. I cannot stress that enough.
Also at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta on ESPN. This is the featured contest between Tennessee and Georgia Tech. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. Mm-hmm. As you know, Georgia Tech being in the great state of Georgia is kind of a virtual home game for them. And a conspicuously low point spread, Dan. Tennessee still favored, but wow.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I looked at the line here and I started wondering, does Vegas know something, Dan? Does Vegas know something? Should I know something?
Lock of the week.
Danny.
Hit me.
Let me harken back to our Tennessee preview.
I'm ready.
Because we talked about how Tennessee had some losses along the defensive line and some new names up front, blah, blah, blah. Remember that?
I do remember.
We had an astute listener point something out. And to his credit, we did pan over this. The names are new, technically, but only kinda, right? Kendall Vickers, Shy Tuttle, the artist formerly known as Khalil McKenzie, now Reginald Khalil McKenzie Jr. Those are the guys who are going to be up front.
Right.
In other words, the proven quantities are gone, but the line's going to be fine. And I think when I look at that, the matchup that I like the most, in addition to the fact that they've still got a lot of beef along the defensive line, is that their offensive line against Georgia Tech's defensive line is much more experienced and they're a lot bigger.
Yeah, they're without their starting left tackle. That broke earlier today. So he's going to miss this game.
Still a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Tennessee's got the brand new offensive coordinator and all that. His first game as an actual coordinator, which is really exciting. I think they're going to run the ball with John Kelly. I think they're going to run it down Georgia Tech's throat. They're going to give him a bit of their own medicine. If they can come out and run it, and I think they will, I like Tennessee to win this game handily. Going away, 33-24, Butch Jones starts the season off on the right foot. Lock up the Vols, baby.
What happened to the most confident thing is what I'm just going to go the opposite way with.
No, it's a new season, Dan. New season.
Okay. Clean slate. I do agree. I agree with you on this pick. Mostly because, well, let's see. There's so much new on offense for Georgia Tech. And they lost their best A-back, Dedrick Mills. Last week, he was kicked off the team. And you saw them struggle last year out of the gate against Boston College and barely eke that out. My feeling is that there is a complex rhythm to this offense that once they're in, and as we saw, you know, they win the Orange Bowl, they're so good, and it's seemingly impossible to stop. But Ty, go back to your first dance, your first slow dance. Like when you were seven and it was sort of, you know, with your mom at a wedding or something like that.
Standing on someone's feet, yeah.
I'm talking your first slow dance, whether you're, you know, in high school dance, a middle school dance, something like that, where you didn't know what was going on.
No.
Your body was going through some emotions and the rhythm was off. The coordination was off. I think Tennessee's defensive line, which you mentioned, I think they are going to wreak some havoc against Georgia Tech on offense. And I also think you're right that the Georgia Tech defense, even though they're experienced and return a bunch, I don't think Tennessee is going to overthink this one. And so even though Tennessee, at the time we're recording this, is not named a starting quarterback, whether it's Quentin Dormady or Jarek Warrantano, I think they will do enough to get the ball in playmakers' hands. Get the ball in playmakers' hands that they should eventually pull away late, even if they have some trouble early on. So I'm going to go Tennessee. They've got to get better against the run, I would hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 38-24 Tennessee.
38-24. Okay.
Yeah.
Block it up, Tennessee, -3.
Okay.
Some other games. We got a bunch of games here that we got to jump around and talk about.
Let's get through these.
Let's travel back in time. Thursday at 8 p.m. recording this show on Wednesday early afternoon. So technically it's tomorrow at time of recording. Thursday, 8 p.m. ESPN, Ohio State on the road at Indiana. They are a 20.5-point favorite. It's going to be Tom Allen's first game as Indiana coach. Could the Hoosier defense make things interesting for Ohio State?
Big question. No doubt about it. Game day's there too, right? Isn't that like they're doing like the multi-screen experience this game?
Great.
Former Indiana coach Lee Corso, Ty. Yeah. I think it could be a little bit close for a bit. Indiana's defense returns a lot of talent and experience and what have you. Ohio State is just so much better. Everybody's as healthy as they're going to be, most likely. Ohio State is going to be in a good position. It's Kevin Wilson's first game as offensive coordinator. They replace a lot of skilled talent, but even so, even if it's close for a bit, even if they're only up like 14-10 at halftime, 14-7, 10-7, whatever, I think they pull away. And ultimately, this game is like a 42-20, 45-20 type game. If that, maybe like 45-13. Yeah, 45-13, I think Ohio State eventually covers, but there's a nail-biting moment or three.
Yeah, are you a little bit of a Lego maniac in this one, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am. I like them fine. They need to be able to run the ball a little bit better than they did last year to stand any chance. And against this front, it's not really going to happen.
Ohio State's secondary loses a lot, so maybe Indiana can get something going in the passing game. Our boy Simi Cobbs Jr.
Nick Westbrook.
My guy. Yeah. We'll see.
He's a dude, Ty.
Indiana's a good team. They're good enough probably to be 7-5. Said it on the preview show. This is kind of the team that gets mauled in week one by Ohio State. Then everyone forgets about them. They still find a way to 8-4 or 7-5. Mm-hmm. It's a good team. They'll win some games, but 42-17, I'll take Ohio State here.
All right. We agree.
Another Saturday tilt. Let's talk about Iowa.
Let's.
Iowa at home, Saturday at noon, Big Ten Network, an 11.5-point favorite against Wyoming, Daniel.
Yeah.
What is the notable factoid about Wyoming and their football team this year?
My college roommate, Mike's dad, Dennis, went to the University of Wyoming, and so he's a proud Cowboy.
I'm talking about the next Carson Wentz.
Oh, we do have the next Carson Wentz. That's right, and Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, he is... going to get a lot of hype for the NFL. Iowa is vulnerable in its secondary. They replaced both of their starting cornerbacks from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wyoming, they're also replacing pretty much all of Josh Allen's top targets from a year ago. Their defense is, we could kindly say, very questionable. So I think I like Akram Wadley in this game a lot more than I like Josh Allen. I'm excited to see what Allen can do against a Big Ten defense. Iowa's defense as a whole should still be pretty solid, but I'm not sure Iowa covers, Dan. I'm thinking like 31-24 in favor of the Hawkeyes.
Let's calm down on the Josh Allen thing. He's intriguing, but Iowa had a top 20 pass defense last year. And here's the other real problem for Josh Allen. It's not really Josh Allen. It's the defense that's wearing the same uniform as Josh Allen. Because Wyoming against Mountain West teams, granted, Mountain West teams, we're not talking about, you know, Iowa should be a good power running team. They have the Nevada transfer coming in. They have Akram Wadley, so they should be deep. They should be very specific about what they do on offense. But here is specifically the number that Wyoming finished against the run last year in conference play, 118th.
Not good.
here's another sort of halftime scare game that gets a little bit ugly later on. Wyoming's going to be all right, but you sort of take the good with the bad. I think Iowa wins this game by 20 points. Lock it up, Ty.
Whoa!
Lock of the week.
All right.
I don't ride with Iowa a lot, Ty, but they are still one of those teams that when they have a particular mismatch, life is good.
So you're saying Akram Wadley going to eat?
I think he's going to eat, yes. I think he's going to feast on some cowboy flesh.
Might I suggest Blue Apron, Dan?
Are they serving cowboy flesh?
I will get to their upcoming meals here momentarily, but Blue Apron, completely flexible. You can customize the recipes that you receive each week. You can choose a delivery option that fits your needs. They've got something called a freshness guarantee. Promises okay. that every ingredient arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right, Dan. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron will deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. Some of the meals available in August include...
Drumroll. Hit me with the drumroll, Ty. Don't pretend like you don't want
fine,
to.
Fine, fine, fine.
Yes!
Basil pesto chicken with summer vegetable panzanella.
I feel like you're almost nervous at this
point. I'm sweating a little bit here.
All right.
Sauteed shrimp and green beans with globe tomatoes? Or is it globe?
How are you spelling globe?
Globe, tomatoes, spinach.
Is it spelled just
G-L-O-B-E? Yeah.
Why are you overthinking it?
I've never heard of globe tomatoes.
It's just globe tomatoes.
Damn it. Spinach and orzo pasta. Also, whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomatoes.
Very good.
Capri salad. Miso butter, salmon, and lo mein noodles with cucumber and charm tomatoes. And meatball pizza with fresh mozzarella cheese and charm tomatoes. Strong tomato game here.
It's a big... They're getting rid of the tomatoes. The summer fruit. I like
Check
that.
It all out on this week's menu. Get your first three meals for free with free shipping. All you got to do, go to blueapron.com/solid. blueapron.com/solid. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/solid. By now, you all know it's a better way to cook.
And, you know, even though it's a new season, we can never forget the contribution at both Wake Forest and Baylor of Jim Grobe. We just can't, Ty.
Also, did you know, Dan, if you're hiring, the best way to find your best candidates, to find the talent that you need to help run your organization, go through ZipRecruiter, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
ZipRecruiter lets you post your job to 100+ job sites with one click. I didn't even know there were that many job sites.
Yeah.
100+ oh, yeah. on the
Robust.
Internet? Seems like a mm-hmm. lot.
Mm-hmm.
They've got powerful technology, which efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else out there. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike the other sites, ZipRecruiter, they don't depend on candidates finding you. They're proactive. They go out, they find the people that want your positions. Over 80% of employers who post a job to ZipRecruiter say that they get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. That's pretty damn quick.
You've never interviewed for a job, have you?
Way back when.
I mean, you interned at your current company, right?
That is correct, yeah. So I interviewed then,
right?
But not since, no.
Ooh. It's a good thing there's ZipRecruiter, Ty, because it's a big world out there.
Yeah.
A lot of different options, and there are people like myself who are probably, would make for a good employee. I've interviewed a couple times, gotten a couple jobs. I am a real bad cover letter writer, Ty.
I feel like I'm an ace interviewee.
Why?
I just, you know, you do enough of this, I think you could talk your way out of almost any jam. Lord knows I deal with you every week.
Do you turn the interview around? Ask questions to the person interviewing you?
This is a true story. At my current company, mm-hmm. during the interview process, I turned a 3-hour interview into a 2-hour interview and 1 hour of fantasy football discussion.
Did you get the job?
I got the job. I'm still there. ZipRecruiter, Dan. Find out why ZipRecruiter is being used by businesses of all shapes and sizes. They find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, listeners of The Verbal, you can get ZipRecruiter for free. Free. F-R-E-E. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/solid. ZipRecruiter.com/solid. One more time. Try it for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/solid.
Yes.
Where shall we go?
You can
next?
Do this. You can do this everywhere, right, Ty? You can do this anywhere you are on the globe.
It's the internet, man.
Yeah, it's international.
All right. Where are we going next? Do you want to talk about Texas, Maryland?
Yeah, I do want to talk about Texas, Maryland. Let's get to it.
Saturday, 12 p.m., high noon, Fox Sports 1, Texas is playing host to Maryland. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, Tom Herman's first game. Texas is an 18.5 point healthy favorite in this football game, Dan. What does the Tom Herman debut have in store?
It has a double barrel lock of the week in store, Ty.
Lock of the week.
I like this pick. I like this pick.
Maryland is not good, at least not yet. And Texas is in a place right now where I think their defense is going to be very much improved from last season. We saw flashes, but they still let down the team a little bit too much. But I like the shift to a 3-4 under Todd Orlando. I like the talent level. It could be a situation not unlike what happened in Michigan where, no, it was clear that Charlie Strong was probably not going to be the long-term guy, but recruited really well in the same way Brady Hoke recruited very well. And then Jim Harbaugh and his staff reap the benefits. I think defensively, Texas is going to be pretty stout against at least the worst teams on their schedule. I really like what they look like up front. And I had totally forgotten about, I don't know if he's a nose tackle. He's along the defensive line. His name is Puna Ford, Ty.
Mm.
Puna Ford is like 5'11", 310. And if there is one specific, if I had a type, Ty,
yeah,
of college football physiques.
Okay.
If I had a type, it would be sub 6, post 3.
Okay.
I like the players shaped like a mailbox, Ty.
All right.
Those are just my favorite players to watch.
So here's what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
This is a real dude alert here for you.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely.
Bearing
no, Puna Ford is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he is built sort of compactly, and his name is also such that I desperately want to call him the dealership.
The dealership?
Okay. I just want to call him the dealership. I like Texas a lot here. I think offensively, they're going to be able to open up holes. I think Connor Williams is great. If Chris Warren is healthy, you know, they're a little thin in the backfield, but you should be able to run not just Texas, but most teams against Maryland. The talent on defense is getting better, but Texas is in a good place. I think they win this game by 24 to 30 points.
Yeah, I like that pick. I thought about making it a double barrel lock with you, but I'm going to pick a different game here.
Okay.
Momentarily. I like Texas as well. Strikes me as the kind of game where Maryland's just completely overmatched. Mm-hmm. They're building, but it's a work in progress. Texas, first game, Tom Herman, they're going to empty the clip. They're going to come out on fire. So give me the horns down there in the great state of Texas. Also on Saturday, this one being played at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Saturday, 3 p.m. ESPN. We've got NC State, a 5-point favorite over South Carolina. I don't get this line at all.
Okay.
It feels entirely too low to me. Is there something I'm missing here? Why it's only 5?
South Carolina's pretty decent, but they're also thin talent-wise. Just recruiting was sort of laid bare before Will Muschamp and NC State. It's the first game of the year.
Pump the brakes here. Pump the brakes.
Pumped.
South Carolina, to call South Carolina decent is a little bit generous, okay? They
Why?
Were okay at the end of the season, but by and large, they were not a good team. A year
That's
ago.
Fine.
Jake Bentley gives them something to be excited about. They were very young.
They made the Final Four, Ty.
I get it.
Granted, it was a different sport, but come on. Show some respect.
I understand. I think they're onto new and great things in the foreseeable future, but 2019 might be the year for South Carolina, not 2017. And NC State brings everybody back on both sides.
Yeah.
You can throw on them. And South Carolina, you know, Bentley, they bring back a bunch of top targets. I think that's the matchup for them to try and exploit. But other than that, I feel like I like everything about NC State more than I do South Carolina here.
Yeah, when you're confused by the line, I'm going the other way. That's what I'm doing.
Oh,
there's
God.
Something up
you
about
dog.
This.
You dog.
South Carolina. Okay, so this is what they did 2 years ago, Marquise Williams. They beat a team much better than them from the state of North Carolina to open the season in ugly fashion. NC State comes into the season. Our new friend, Cole Kublik, has them in the playoff. There's a lot of hype behind NC State. There's going to be that deflating game where like, ooh, that didn't last long. I think this is going to be that game. And I really like NC State, but if South Carolina's thin, this is as healthy as they're going to be. I like the quarterback play. It's a neutral field. I really like NC State. Once again, I can't stress this enough, but I think this is your like weird, oh God, turn to ESPNU or whatever channel it's on.
Okay.
It's getting strange. That's the pick.
NC State as East Coast USC. No! The hype machine.
Yeah, they get a little hot. A little hot for my tastes.
Speaking of USC, they've got a game at 5:15 p.m. Eastern on the Pac-12 Network. They are at home, a 27-point favorite against Western Michigan. Remember them?
Yeah.
Remember Western Michigan? Are they going to bring that P.J. Fleck, row the bowl mentality? I can't even say it.
No, they can't because he's gone.
Can they still use the row the boat thing now that he's gone? I know they sold it off, but can't they just implement it internally without making a big to-do about it?
I would hope that they would go to like a generic version of that because they can't say row the boat. Yeah. Ride, row the pony. I think USC kills Western Michigan.
55-13 is what I've got.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe Western Michigan scores a little bit more in garbage time, but I think USC makes pretty quick work of them.
Yeah. Okay.
That's okay.
Saturday, 6:15 p.m. Eastern time. On ESPN, Georgia at home, a 14.5-point favorite, Dan.
Yep.
Only 14.5 points over your darling App State.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand on App State? Where do you stand in this game?
I think Jacob Eason's going to be a little distracted getting measured for his Hall of Fame jacket to the Ty Hildenbrandt Hall of Fame.
Yep, it happens.
I'm going to take the points in this game. I think Georgia wins outright, but we saw App State keep it pretty close to open the season against Georgia last year. App State has a ton of upperclassmen, mostly seniors everywhere. Coaching staff is all back. Quarterback Taylor Lamb is back. Offensively, I don't think they're going to be able to do a ton against what should be a very, very good Georgia defense, but I'm not fully sold on Georgia being creative enough and wily enough against what should be a very good App State defense. So ultimately, I think Georgia wins this game 20-13, but they do not cover.
20-13.
Yeah, I'm going to take those points happily.
38-20, Georgia wins at home.
All right. Georgia scoring 38 points. Breaking news, Ty.
38-20.
Breaking news. I think it's not terribly far, right, from App State to Athens. I think it's about 4 hours.
Okay.
So, not terrible.
Saturday, 7:30 p.m. on Fox, we've got Louisville. 24.5 points, the favorite over Purdue. They're playing this one at Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis, Dan.
Not a joke.
They really are. This, to me, is like the neutral site that drew the 12th pick in a fantasy draft. That they ended like, oh, who do you want? Okay, Louisville and Purdue, I guess. Why not?
Louisville, Purdue. I don't really have much to say about this game other than the fact that I think Louisville's going to win this game comfortably. Purdue's still far away, even though in the back of our mind, we would say, you know, Jeff Brohm, you know, really successful offense, bringing a good defensive staff to Purdue. Maybe they're going to produce something fun, maybe sort of maybe become the Washington State of the Big Ten, where they become a wild card type team. But yeah, I think Louisville rolls. Fun fact about Lucas Oil Field, though. I just read, because I'm a quarterback nerd, I just read Bruce Arians' book.
Yeah.
And he was telling a story about Andrew Luck and Lucas Oil Field. Apparently, Andrew Luck, because he was an architecture major, as you remember, at Stanford, is obsessed with stadium design and construction. It's the least surprising thing,
yeah,
right?
No, of course. Totally on brand.
Right. It's completely on brand. And apparently, when he was first drafted by the Colts and he got to Lucas Oil Field, it was either when he was first drafted or he did a workout there. He apparently like walked around the stadium and was just like blown away. He was like, no, this is a great look. This sort of like modern industrial, like I get what they're going for. And like, I'm in awe of the direction they went architecturally. Like it was so great. I was like, oh, this charming dork just happens to be a really good quarterback. So I have a little bit of love in my heart for Lucas Oil Field because of that.
Don't count out the fact that Jeff Brohm was born in Louisville, played at Louisville. Dan, this is an announcer's dream here to have that Louisville connection here, new head football coach at Purdue. You will hear that approximately 15 times in this football game. I think Louisville wins 52-17. A big game for Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And lock it up.
Lock of the week.
I like Louisville comfortably in this football game.
I'm with you.
And then also on Saturday night, and then we'll go rapid fire through a bunch of other football games. 9:30, this one moved to the Superdome after Hurricane Harvey and the flooding that's transpired in the Houston and Eastern Texas area.
Yeah.
It's in the Superdome now. LSU minus 16 against BYU, Dan. BYU 1-0, though.
BYU is 1-0.
We're going to stay unbeaten. They beat Portland State.
Yeah.
In week 0.5, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredibly unimpressive. Their receivers couldn't get open. Their line couldn't get a push. I understand that you typically see a lot of improvement between week 1 and week 2. So maybe they'll be a little bit more inspired against a team like LSU. But I'm not getting this line at all.
Again, if you're not understanding a line, you must ask yourself why.
I do. I always do. I can't justify going BYU after how mediocre they looked against Portland State.
So BYU still, and you're right, they did look mediocre offensively, but they played the run really well last year. And it's Danny Etling throwing to new receivers with still maybe the most talented or at least one of the best two running backs perhaps in the country, him and Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis. Overnight, I don't think LSU was going to be this wide open, fun, Boise, Oregon hybrid like Matt Canada is probably going to try to get them to be. But LSU has such a huge... I was really looking for reasons to take BYU and take the points and say LSU wins ugly and they win 24-14 or something, but BYU covers. But yeah, after that Portland State game, I'm not so sure. I'm thinking 30-10. I think LSU wins this game.
That seems about right to me.
Maybe it's a late... It's almost like a backdoor cover where they're up. It doesn't look like they're going to cover, but they sort of finalize things late. But yeah, 30-10 LSU.
Let's go rapid fire.
Let's hit me. Okay, bing, 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 bing.
Thursday night, Tulsa at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State at home, an 18-point favorite.
Tulsa lost a bunch. Give me the Cowboys.
Same. Washington at Rutgers. Are you going to this game?
I am not going to this game.
This game's on Friday, so Friday Night Lights. Washington, a 27.5-point road favorite. I like the Huskies pretty big here.
As do I. They're without Azeem Victor, but he will be back.
Also on Friday, Utah State coming to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 27-point favorite. I will take the Badges.
Wish Utah State looked like what they did 3 or 4 years ago. Would have given me a good excuse to take those points. But even though I'm not a big Hornibrook person, I'm not, in fact, horny for Hornibrook. I'm going with the Badgers.
Saturday, Akron at Penn State.
Akron. Isn't that what James Franklin is tweeting out? Yeah.
30.5 points for Penn State.
I'm going to take Penn State.
Also on Saturday, Kent State at Clemson. Clemson, 40 points a favorite. Wow, new quarterback?
I'm going to take Clemson as well. I think they're going to be up like 31 points, but I don't think the job is as Kelly Bryant's as it seems. So I think even if it's Hunter Johnson coming in late, I think he is auditioning for that role perhaps down the line if Kelly Bryant struggles. So ultimately, I think Clemson wins by 45, something like 55-10.
Cal at North Carolina. North Carolina only an 11-point favorite in this game. Two teams that are in interesting spots. North Carolina replacing a lot. Cal trying to build from scratch now under Justin Wilcox.
I'm going to give the points. There's nothing really I love about Cal other than the fact that their talent level is higher than it was, but that's not enough for me to feel good. Give me North Carolina.
Miami in action at home against Bethune-Cookman. Not a line there. Miami should roll in that game, but interesting to see what they do at quarterback, how their defense looks. UTEP at Oklahoma, a 43-point favorite, Dan. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the Miners there.
Temple at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 17.5 or an 18-point favorite in that football game. I am not touching this game with a 10-foot pole, though I do like Notre Dame.
1 second. It's a podcast. It's not a CD, Grandpa. No, it's a podcast, just in case anybody, it's from the phone or the, No, it's not a race. Okay.
Southern Utah at Oregon. Oregon opening up with some real stiff competition here, Dan, to lead off the Willie Taggart era.
It's a directional Utah power tie. Everybody knows that.
Kentucky minus 10 at Southern Miss could actually be kind of an interesting game.
Southern Miss won in Lexington last year.
That's right.
I'm going Southern Miss here to cover. How about that?
I will do the same. Why not?
Really good receivers for Southern Miss. Go Eagles.
Central Arkansas in action against Kansas State. and Arkansas State, the Red Wolves, on the road, a 16.5-point dog against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, led by all-world everything Tanner Lee.
Yes, give me Arkansas State to cover, but not win outright. And shout out to Blake Anderson. We hope everything goes all right health-wise. His wife, I think, recently diagnosed with cancer. Hope everything is going all right. He's going to take some time off during the season, but, you know, we're thinking of you.
Absolutely. Okay.
There's other games, Ty, worthwhile.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Boise State, Troy. That's a really good Group of Five game.
Yeah.
Is it not? Can you not get excited for that?
I have to work myself up a little bit, but I can
show some respect.
I can get excited for it if I really want to.
How about Youngstown State Pitt? You know what Youngstown State did to Pitt like 5 years ago? They beat them.
I just stayed in Youngstown, Ohio, a couple months ago on my way home from Chicago. Yeah.
How was it? It was good.
It was delightful. Yeah. Made to order continental breakfast. Yeah. What are we talking about here?
What do you get at a continental breakfast?
Well, this was made to order, so I got an omelet.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I go waffle.
Yeah.
I like,
do you
I
use
like
a little machine that you turn over and it's on the
absolutely.
Timer? Yeah.
No, absolutely, I do. Okay, outside of that, though, Ty, well, Northern Iowa beat Iowa State last year to start the season.
Right.
The rematch.
Right.
The Iowa-ing is happening once again. I think Iowa State's going to win that game. Ty, I'm going to close this out with just a very simple request, as we also note that Houston-UTSA was postponed.
Right.
Ty, just a quick favor.
Please.
Just between you and me.
Anything for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Will you drop that plundering, whimpering, bucking, turgid drum and fife?
Oh, baby.
Is everybody else getting a little hot?
Lest we forget that Colgate knocked off Cal Poly last week. That was the number 23 team in all of FCS, Dan.
Yeah.
So perhaps Colgate's working up a little something for this Patriot League season.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, this is the Patriot League lightning round because we believe in the Patriot League more than we believe in anything else in college football. Colgate, big weekend for the Gators, knocking off Cal Poly. I like that area, though, Ty. San Luis Obispo?
Yeah.
Quality area. So let's, Ty, start here. Thursday night. Holy Cross, the Crusaders traveling to the Hornets' Nest that is Storrs, Connecticut, taking
huge
on UConn.
Nest, yeah.
Yeah. UConn's going to kill them.
UConn. I'm going UConn here. I like the Crusaders, but I got to go UConn here.
Total frauds. Shout out to Caroline. Fordham at Army, Ty. The United States Army hosting New York's one true team, the Fordham Rams. Fordham closed the season, I believe, winning 6 of 7 last year. Do you believe in Rams, Ty?
I believe in the United States Army, Dan.
Wow.
I believe the United States Army, they were a bowl team a year ago. This is the whole Army going up against Fordham.
That is true.
Fordham
is
a fine school, the one true team of New York, all that jazz.
Right.
Give me the United States Army here to win.
Another team in New York. I would say it's New York's second team. The United States Army, really, they finally broke through and beat Navy last year. But I'm proud to be a Fordham Ram, where at least I know they're okay. I'm going Fordham here.
Wow.
Big upset, Ty. They beat them a couple
That'd
years
be huge.
Ago.
That'd be huge.
Next one, and we do like Jeff Munkin a lot. Villanova, your local team, not in the Pat League, but kind of a believer anyway, traveling to Lehigh, your backyard.
I'd be remiss if I didn't go Lehigh. Gotta go Lehigh. Gotta go Mountain Hawks here.
An early season favorite, I would say, in the Pat League. Is that not true?
The battle for Eastern Pennsylvania is what we got going on right here.
Yeah, I'm riding with the engineers here. No doubt about it. Also, Saturday, Lafayette Leopards. Leopard up, traveling to Monmouth. As we know, Monmouth, total frauds, total clowns. I think Lafayette wins this one big. What do you think?
I'm going to go Lafayette as well.
I like it, Ty.
I went with Lehigh and Lafayette in the same Pat League lightning round. God help me, but gotta go Lafayette here.
Also, Saturday, Marist traveling to Bucknell. Marist traveling to the Nellies at Bucknell. I found out recently that there's somebody in this office that went to Bucknell, and I got way too excited because nobody ever meets somebody. I shouldn't say that. You very seldom meet somebody and they tell you, oh, I went to a small school. I don't even, where is Bucknell? Is it Connecticut? Is it in Massachusetts?
No, it's in Pennsylvania.
It is in Pennsylvania. Yeah, where in Pennsylvania is it?
I'd say it's about an hour and a half hour and 45 minute drive from yours truly.
Yeah, and they rubbed you the wrong way.
It was not a Bucknell. I went to go visit Bucknell. We have people who listen to the show, by the way, who went to Bucknell. So I don't want to, I don't want to do them dirty like this, but I'm just saying that I was not a Bucknell fan.
So when, and I've met Pat League people before. Your lovely wife, Kate, went to Lehigh. Katie the Capper went to Lafayette. My dad went to Lafayette. But when I come across a random person that went to a Patriot League school, this girl went to Bucknell and she told me, and I went, oh, really? And that is not a response that is pretty typical, I think, for people that went to Bucknell. So shout out to Bucknell. I think they're going to win this one easily. Screw
Marist. I'll go Marist. Screw
Bucknell. You fraud.
Screw Bucknell. We are Pat League faithful here on the show.
I say screw the Hudson Valley tie. I roll with Bucknell.
They do need to let us call a game this year.
Come on, Pat League.
We'll find a free agent analyst like Chris Brown or somebody to work.
We can probably convince Adam Amin to break his contract with ESPN and join us. We probably can.
Totally.
Shout out to Adam Amin.
Totally worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's right. Yeah.
Well, this has been fun. Big thanks to our two sponsors this evening, Blue Apron, and, of course, ZipRecruiter. Don't forget to follow us all throughout the college football weekend, the first college football weekend of the 2017 season. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're going to be doing some Instagram stories as well. Sign up for our newsletter and get your pick'em picks in before the action gets rolling on Saturday. And of course, the Reverb line is always open at 408-VERBAL-1. That's 408-837-2251. Mm-hmm. You can also text message the Solid Verbal voicemail line now. The Reverb line is now accepting text messages. So if you would like to text in, Taylor and I have yet to figure out how we're actually going to use that content.
Okay.
But it is available to us. And I'm going to throw it out there in hopes that it doesn't go as poorly as it did the last time where we got a wrong number. One guy sent us a dong shot, someone else trying to score cocaine from us. We are not that kind of show, so please do send us college football text messages. Yeah, it's right. We don't know where things could go in year number 10.
Can we do one of those? Can we do the like computer voice reading the text messages?
We could try.
Like, I can't believe TCU did that. I am astonished. I would like to do that.
We could try it. We could figure something like that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do we want to shout out anybody, Dan?
That's a good question. I don't have anybody now, but I'm going to say this. If you are going to share the show, we would greatly appreciate it. So either that means retweeting it on Twitter, that means sharing it on Facebook, that means leaving a review on iTunes because that helps us share the show, preferably a 5-star if you feel that way, and I hope that you do. So rating and reviewing on iTunes certainly helps. And at this moment, every week, we are going to thank people that share the show because we ride with all of you. But in particular, we do ride.
We ride! We ride! Oh, we ride!
With Brandon McKissick.
We ride with Brandon McKissick. We will shout out longtime listeners here as well. I'll shout out Mark Hess, who's a longtime listener.
Oh, good. I like that. But yeah, we've got a lot of people that are great, but share the show and we will thank you from the bottom of our very hearts.
Absolutely. Well, okay. You know where to find us. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support. We are excited for the season to get rolling. We will be back on Sunday to talk about all the action from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And on our next preview show for week 2, which will drop next Wednesday, we will rehash the action that occurs on Sunday and Monday. Labor Day weekend, always a little bit of a fly in the ointment when it comes to our normal podcasting schedule, but we'll do our best to keep you abreast of all the college football action.
Yes.
So we'll talk to you in a few days. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt here in Eastern PA, thank you again for listening. Call the Reverb line. Stay in touch. Enjoy the season and stay solid.
Peace.